Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. In the small catechism, we confess that baptizing with water indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. Drowning and death seems awfully violent, but it must be so. The old Adam, that is our sinful flesh, is desperately wicked, and therefore he must constantly meet a violent end. The works of the flesh are evident, writes the Apostle Paul in our epistle lesson this morning. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. The only thing that can be done with things like these is to kill them, to drown them, day by day. No one, not a single person, has completely avoided these sins listed by Paul in Galatians chapter 5. We Christians recognize them to be evident and to be evil. But only we Christians can recognize them and ourselves to be such, because apart from the Word of God, sinners cannot grasp just how wicked their actions are and indeed just how evil they themselves are in their corrupted nature. The Word of God clearly states that every single person's nature is corrupted from the moment of conception, but apart from the Word of God, that is unknown. So, try it. Ask your unbelieving neighbor or friend, coworker, or even family member if they consider themselves and their works to be evil, to be wicked, to be desperately unclean. And they will protest. They probably would get offended that you even asked the question. No doubt they, like all people, have at least had impure or jealous thoughts, fits of anger, or been envious, if not all of the above and then some. But again, those who do not believe the Word of God will almost certainly just shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, but I'm still basically a good person. Sinners think this because apart from God's law, no one can grasp just how wicked, just how depraved, just how fallen they really are. For this reason, the disease of leprosy, which we read about on more than one occasion in the Bible, that disease is a powerful and fitting picture of the ravages of sin. You may remember, leprosy is a disease of the skin. It causes sores on your flesh and disfigurement. But as that disease goes on, it then causes severe nerve damage. And so, in other words, the one who suffers from leprosy eventually cannot actually sense how badly he is suffering. He cannot actually feel the pain wrought by this disease, and therefore, he cannot tell the kind of danger that he is in. And so it is for the sinner, apart from the Word of God, apart from the law. The sinner simply cannot feel his own fleshly wickedness because of his sinful condition. He does not know that he is dying in his trespasses. Only the Word of God can bring this sin to light. Only the Word of God can bring the sinner to cry out in repentance, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Only the Word of God does this. But for the sinner who has heard the word of the law, which has brought his sin to light, only the sinner which has heard the word of the gospel, who tells him of his Savior Jesus, who died for sin. For this sinner, it is just as it was for David, as we prayed last week along with him in Psalm 32. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The sinner who has heard the word of God, who has repented of his sins, who cries out to Jesus for mercy, is received by Jesus. Jesus hears the sinner's repentant cry. He has mercy on all those who lift up their voices to him. He promises to do so. He promises to forgive the iniquities and transgressions of all those who confess their sins to him. And this is why we ourselves are bold and confident to draw near to Christ with a true heart, to confess our sins unto God our Father through Jesus our Lord. We do so because we have come to know God through his word to be the gracious and merciful Lord. Therefore, when we approach him in our uncleanness, we are certain that he will not shoo us away with indifference, or worse yet, annihilate us in his wrath. No, as the church sings, Jesus sinners doth receive. Just as he once received those 10 lepers in mercy long ago. Then, as we heard, he purified them. Today, and still, he purifies us, cleansing us. Lepers from their fleshly, physical ailment, but we sinners purified in our consciences from dead works. And the reason Jesus does this is because he was on his way to Jerusalem, as we heard. Sinners and lepers are purified because Jesus was headed to the cross. This is how our gospel lesson began, that brief phrase, as he was going to Jerusalem. And that is not just incidental. It's not just background info to everything that happened to those 10 lepers or for us. Rather, again, the path of Jesus leading to Jerusalem, leading to the cross, is foundational to all the works that Christ has done for us. Physical cleansing for lepers, spiritual cleansing, the cleansing of your conscience today. That which Christ has done for you through the waters of holy baptism ever since in the means of grace, his word and sacrament, all comes from the fact that Jesus was going to Jerusalem for you and for all. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 9, we read, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And then from that point forward in Luke's gospel, Jesus is on his journey to Good Friday, on his way to the cross, on his way to die. In fact, in the very next chapter of Luke's gospel, chapter 18, Jesus reminds his 12 disciples, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." You see, this, the death of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, is the foundation for all the works of cleansing, of forgiveness, of mercy that he has done. 10 lepers were cleansed as they went to show themselves to the priests. Your sins have been washed away in holy baptism. You are daily and richly forgiven all your sins. You will rest in your Savior's arms in heaven when you die, and your body will rise perfect and imperishable on the last day. All because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for you, to die for your sins. And not for yours alone, but for the sins of the whole world. There is true cleansing in him. But of course, the gospel doesn't end there, with the 10 lepers being cleansed as they went to show themselves to the priests. So also, the fourth part of baptism doesn't end with the old Adam drowned and dead with all sins and evil desires. That's important, yes, but there's more. It goes on. A new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And thus Jesus said to the Samaritan leper who had returned to him, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." Again, remember in the gospel lesson we just heard, all 10 lepers were cleansed on the way to the priests. All 10 received the mercy for which they prayed. All 10 asked in faith, based on the word that they had heard about Jesus. And so all 10 went forth in that faith, They went to show themselves to the priests before cleansing had actually been accomplished. But as we heard, only one leper continued in that faith. We don't know exactly what happened to those 9 former lepers. Presumably, after showing themselves to the priests, after being confirmed as cleansed from that terrible disease, they went on their way to live normal, happy, regular lives, restored to their families, communities, synagogues, etc. But as we heard from Jesus, he's clearly disappointed, if not indignant, at their absence. Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? Yes, the 9 received the mercy for which they prayed, even that mercy in which they believed, but that was it. And once they got what they were looking for, once Jesus did his part healing them from leprosy, they went on their way, never seemingly to return. That one leper, who was a Samaritan, however, he continued in his faith. We may say he was strengthened and preserved in his faith. With the other 9 lepers, he called on Jesus to have mercy on his diseased body. But by the time he was healed, he then confessed a faith in Jesus that went far beyond him as a mere prophet or miracle worker. Rather, in word and deed, he then confessed Jesus Christ to be the Lord God Almighty himself. For when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. He praised God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And so you see, with his voice he praised God, with his body he worshiped Jesus, and so in body and voice he confessed Jesus Christ to be God. He praised him as God. And about this faith, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." Something far greater than physical cleansing, as great as that is. Rather, his conscience had been cleansed. His sins had been washed away. He would now begin a new life of faith in Jesus Christ. And so it is with your baptism. Baptism truly works forgiveness of your sins. It truly rescues you from death and the devil, and it truly gives eternal salvation to you who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. It is truly a life-giving water, rich in grace and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. But new birth means new life then going forward. Sadly, there are many who have been baptized who then follow the example of the 9 lepers. They go on their way, cleansed, but unchanged. And that is not just those who do not return to this house of God to give praise to him, although that clearly is evidence of a deficient, if not non-existent, faith. But it also means those who continue to gratify the desires of the flesh, the works of the flesh, as recorded by St. Paul, named earlier, and do so without sorrow. They continue to indulge without contrition things like impure and immoral thoughts, jealousy and envy, rivalry and division. St. Paul has a very stern warning for the Galatians and for us that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We have to take that warning seriously. For you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been cleansed from fleshly, sinful works. You have truly been purified, just like those 10 lepers were truly cleansed and healed from their leprosy. But you have a greater and more thorough purification, for again, you have been purified in your conscience from dead works by the blood of Christ. Purified to serve the living God. Your former sins and transgressions, all those things named by Paul in Galatians 5, and then some, they've all been forgiven, absolved, drowned in the depths of the waters of holy baptism. Then and there, Christ claimed you to be his own. You belong to Christ Jesus. And so you have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so to you who have been baptized, Jesus also says, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. It has saved you. For baptizing with water indicates that the new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That is the new man in you, created by the Spirit through the waters of baptism, is to emerge and to arise to walk by the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that you ought to desire, for you are indeed a new creation in Christ Jesus. These are the things that you should seek, for the new man lives in you. Just as we prayed in Psalm 119 earlier, with my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Hear how the psalmist says again and again, how he delights in the good things that God has spoken and given and commanded. And so do we as Christians. We delight to live in love, joy, peace, patience, and more. What was confessed in the psalm, what we ourselves prayed, is the confession, the prayer of one who has been purified by the word of God and walks in newness of life. This is what the Samaritan, former leper, showed in his life by returning to Jesus, praising and thanking him as the Lord God in the flesh. Now, does that mean that we Christians no longer sin, no longer commit the works of the flesh? Of course not. After all, in the same catechism, we confess that we daily sin much. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. We remain sinners in the flesh, in this earthly life. Just like the Samaritan was still a Samaritan, still a Gentile, still unclean by blood according to the law of Moses, even after his leprosy had been cleansed. But note that the Samaritan, having been cleansed by the word of Christ, having received mercy from the Son of God, did not remain in his leper's rags upon being cleansed, nor did he flee from Christ as a Samaritan. Instead, by faith, he returned to Christ, and in faith, he praised Christ. And it's that faith that saved him. It's in that faith that he lived. And so it is with you. You no longer remain in your former works of the flesh, nor should you define or identify yourself in those former works of the flesh. Instead, you are known by faith. You are known by the mercy you have received. This, as God himself declares through the Apostle Paul, this has saved you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. Though yes, we remain sinners in this life, we are Christians. We are forgiven. We are new creations. We are children of God. So again, what does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And where is this written? St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Again, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been cleansed purified with an even greater purification and cleansing than those 9 lepers received from Jesus. For again, you have been purified in your conscience from dead works, a purification that you have received by faith and faith alone, just like that one Samaritan leper did. So rise and go your way. Live the new life that God has given to you, doing the good works that God has prepared beforehand that you should do, all by grace alone, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. For that faith in Jesus Christ, who went to Jerusalem to die for you, that faith has saved you. In his name, amen. Please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.